T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I want to give everything that I have for as long as I play, and you know, I'm not saying that I haven't done that in the past, but there's always new ways that I can find to get better, and not being complacent with what I'm doing on the field, understanding that there's a lot of plays that we left out there, and you know, statistically you look at it, we were top 3-4 offense in the league last year, and it wasn't good enough. So just losing the playoffs isn't fun. I so badly want to bring Super Bowl here to Buffalo.
Josh Allen, OTAs, taking a day off today, and then back to it tomorrow. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, on a Wednesday, sunny Wednesday, joining us on the Wester Hotline, Pro Football Focus, is Brad Spielberger. We're going to talk to weekly, just, you know, shoot some football stuff, whether it's contracts or fantasy, or today, the value of kickoffs and how important they are. Brad, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Brad, what do you make of the kickoff stuff? I mean, you know, I feel like there's a little push-pull with fans. It has become a less relevant play over time, and the league continues to kind of push it further out the door.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, as a kid from Chicago, growing up with Devin Hester basically being the entire offense for a lot of the teams I watched, you know, that part of me wants to, you know, rail against it. But it is really a huge push in the direction of player safety, and if we want to promote, you know, initiatives in that area. We've seen in the XFL, we've seen in college football, reductions in injuries for similar rules. So it is going to kind of make the kickoff go extinct. We're not going to see those coffin corner kicks being utilized as kind of a trick anymore. But it is good for player safety.
We were talking about last segment, Brad, like if the squib kick might become more prevalent this year, that might be the only way kicking teams really can get the ball inside the 25. But honestly, like, right, even if they teams start doing that, isn't the next rule change from the league just going to be something to make that harder?
That's exactly what I thought as well. It's funny you mentioned that, actually. And I do think we'll see, you know, teams like the New England Patriots, Baltimore Ravens, clubs that are very, very, you know, big on special teams, find a lot of value in it, and will go to the end of the earth to find an edge. We probably will do that. The change would be, and the full XFL rule is that no one can move until the returner actually makes contact with the football. And then everyone starts running. I wouldn't be surprised if eventually, not in the near future, but if eventually we do get to that point in the NFL.
So in terms of like special teamers and like design of roster, we don't really think this is a major impact on like roster construct yet, right? Like the Bills have been a team that have kept several players on their roster at all times that are just primary special teamer. You would never, I mean, Tywan Jones was listed at running back for this team for like 6 years. I'm not sure he ever played on offense. We're not there yet. That's probably the future though, right? Like those guys, I mean, just kind of the nature of the business might just be out of a job in the future.
Yeah, so I think they still obviously have a huge relevance on punts and other areas and the occasional kickoff that does get returned. But the kickoff, like we said, already kind of was, you know, a bit, you know, going extinct, so to speak. I will say I do think at the margins you will see a small change where let's say you have one developmental player at a non-special teams position, you know, let's say an edge rusher. And in the past you would say, you know what, we'd love to keep this kid around, but we need to keep this safety or off-ball linebacker that also is a major factor on special teams. At the margin, that decision may switch. And you'll say, you know what, now we'll keep this kid around that has no team's value, but we'll keep him in-house. We don't want to risk him going elsewhere. We'll develop him here. I think you will see a little bit of that going forward.
Brad Spielberger on the Wester Hotline. What about the 3-quarterback rule that was just implemented? We might not see it a lot, But, like, I wonder in terms of, again, like, kind of roster building as we're at this point in May in the offseason, where maybe teams keep a third quarterback on their active roster more often than they would have, given that, you know, your practice squad guy can't be that emergency quarterback?
Yeah, the funny thing now is active rosters can be as high as 49 players on game day, because the NFL kind of already tried to help. They didn't, you know, denote it as clearly as a third quarterback rule, but, you know, allowing teams to go from 46 to 48 man active roster bonuses in the last CBA, you could go to 48 only if 10 offensive linemen were dressed, but nevertheless, you could get there. And so now it's, 49, which is, I think, a good thing. I'm not going to be opposed to avoiding a scenario where you have, you know, wildcat offenses because of, you know, freak injuries.
Brad Spielberger joining us on the Wester Hotline. You know, as we talk about, like, these fringe elements of the roster, where special teamers and quarterbacks, Brad, one of the things I always like to chart is, like, the ebbs and flows of the value of positions, right? Like, for a while, it was running backs are worthless, and that might have actually gone too far. I saw a lot of pushback on that this year in the first round for Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, that actually that's gone too far. Running backs can go in the first round. As you look at where the state of value on contracts is these days, receivers have gone up big. You know, what trends do you see from this day, like moving forward, more devaluation at some positions, more incentivization at others?
What's interesting is I'm actually of the belief that the free agent market for running backs has maybe overcorrected, but I probably still wouldn't, you know, have advocated or used those draft picks that early, but I would be less opposed to, I mean, you guys like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs now, that they might not get, I don't know, $13 million a year. And yes, there has been a history of a lot of those players not really living up to those deals. But, I mean, in 2019, Ezekiel Elliott signed for $15 million a year. That's five off seasons ago. And guys aren't even sniffing that anymore. So I think that's kind of an interesting point there. Some other markets that I think could continue to grow. I think eventually tight end will break through and get in line with receiver a little bit. I think a guy like TJ Hockenson this offseason kind of owes a duty to his position, frankly, to maybe reset the market, you know, even in the Darren Waller range at $17 million per year. It's been tough sledding though for that position, no question. I don't know about I don't think anything else is going to get devalued. I think we've kind of already seen, you know, the effects of that the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, you say tight end breaking through. We've had tons of conversations, and it's just started with Dalton Kincaid, who's a tight end. You know, the moment he gets drafted, you hear basically a wide receiver and how often he'll be lined up, you know, not in line. And it's kind of wild to think about, like, going all the way back to Jimmy Graham, who argued he wasn't a tight end. Travis Kelce, of course, right, who's like, you know, you got these pass-catching tight ends who are remaking the position. And for a guy like Hockenson, I guess, you know, he could be in for a fight, but tight ends are a tight group. And to get them right on the level with receivers, that is still a big jump, but you think it's doable?
Yeah, so they'll never be, you know, truly in line with receivers. But if you look at it, from my opinion, George Kittle basically still has the top contract at $15 million per year at tight end. That would make him, he wouldn't even be a top 25 highest paid wide receiver. So, you know, I think getting it somewhat close to where a number one true tight end, a guy that receives the ball a lot and has, you know, Travis Kelce type numbers are close to it, that guy should at least be getting, I don't know, two-thirds of the receivers, so maybe $20 million per year. I think Hockenson needs to push very hard, and if we get a healthy Kyle Pitts in Atlanta the next couple of years, I think he's going to fight that same fight, you know, argue that he is a wide receiver or should be viewed as such, you know, and Kincaid's probably the next guy in that lineage as well.
Is Atlanta going to be worth watching? It's a little bit of a fantasy question. I've got some London. I've got some Pitts. I've got some Bijan. And, you know, what's going on at quarterback? It's a franchise that's kind of, I don't know, they're a quarterback away from being dynamite maybe offensively, but, you know, they're still the Falcons for now.
Yeah, I'll say this. So first, you know, the NFC is bad and the division's probably the worst division in football, so they should win a handful of games. I think the offense is going to be very concentrated in who the ball goes to. So I like Drake London and Kyle Pitts in fantasy because I think they really have not much else beyond them as true receiving threats. And the last piece on Ritter, I do think it's notable. Look, Atlanta at no point this offseason seriously considered drafting a quarterback. They're sitting there at 8. It's viewed as a good class, and they never wavered. They were all in on Ritter the entire time. And I can tell you that wasn't just lip service. That wasn't just in the public. That was true. For whatever that means, whatever signal that is, whatever confidence they have, they genuinely do have it.
Brad Spielberger on the Wester Hotline. Gabriel Davis at OTAs. There's no contract dispute or anything of the sort. Ed Oliver, too, by the way. Those are the two guys that are Bills fans are keeping their eye on for next year. And we've talked about whether Davis gets extended now. I guess for you, Brad, like, would the Bills, what would the Bills be risking if they decide to go into the year and not extend Gabriel Davis? If he goes to free agency even, I don't know, like, would he be someone you expect to be one of those receivers that gets overpaid?
Yeah, so first, just kind of got to plug my own work. I actually put out an extension, early extension article yesterday, and Gabriel Davis was one of the players in it. So kind of just looking at that market and looking at his usage and his deployment, how he's one of the, you know, true kind of deep threats in the NFL right now with a very high average depth of target and average yards per reception, which, you know, he's not super consistent, and you'd like to see that, but what he does bring to the table is kind of a harder skill set to find. So I think it's not a huge risk, because I think they could just franchise tag him if he has maybe a phenomenal season and they say, okay, we can't let this guy go. We probably should have extended him, but we didn't, and now we regret that. You just put the franchise tag on him and go from there, because, yeah, good receivers don't really reach free agency anymore. So, look, I'm a fan. I don't really think he's a great player, but he would have been the best free agent in this offseason's class. I'm not even sure it would be a debate.
And those guys got, what, like $11, $12 million a year. So, I mean, should that be what the Bills expect if they were to pay him now and get him on a deal? Is that around the territory we'd be thinking?
So this year's class was almost all exclusively slot players, a handful of them with injury histories, a handful of them older, guys that were undrafted or didn't test very well. I'm really talking about Jacoby Myers, who I like a lot, but had a horrific, you know, combine performance or pro day, whatever it was. And it's kind of a specific player. So I projected him pretty bullish, but up at $17 million per year. I think it's probably realistically, if Buffalo actually does it, it falls more in the 13 to 15, maybe 14 to 16 range. But nevertheless, no, I think you get a little bit more than the guys you saw in free agency this year.
The other receiver thing that's been brought about this week, DeAndre Hopkins is talking about the Bills again and how much he'd love to play with Josh Allen. I mean, a lot of it's coming from him. He's in Toronto working out. He's going on podcasts. He's talking about the Bills. And I don't know, it's a little hard for me to see him being a Cardinal this year, so I'd like to think something happens with him. It will come down to, I guess, for us, whether or not Buffalo ends up being that team. So for you, like, his cap hit's big. I guess he could be cut, and then you could manage that after. But what do you think is likeliest with Hopkins, and how much sense cap-wise and even just what the Bills have on the roster targets does Hopkins make sense at this point in the offseason?
Yeah, so the big thing, right, is that he does just make no sense on Arizona whatsoever. They should, I'm not going to say tanking, but realistically, until Kyler Murray's back healthy, there's no reason they should be trying to pay a receiver $20 million in cash this year, to play with Colt McCoy or whoever they trot out there. So I think a cut is possible. I think maybe they're just trying to hold on for dear life and say, you know what, if another team that he really wants to go to, and Buffalo certainly seems to be the top of that list, can negotiate a new contract with him, a la Brandon Cooks, who also got traded this offseason, who chopped off $6 million of his pay and then reworked the actual, you know, cash outlays of his deal and the cap hits of his deal. If Hopkins is willing to do that, then I think maybe Buffalo enters the fold. Do I think it makes sense, though? Yes. I mean, they don't have kind of his skill set, in my opinion, a big-bodied, you know, contested catch guy that is consistent, that you can just pepper with targets. Look, if he gets cut, if I'm Buffalo, they should be the first team on the phone.
Question is, how little would he play for? Brad, can you think of who's the last guy to really play for an absurd bargain deal that was a prove-it level deal? Like, we were kicking this idea around. Like, if he became available, the Bills could say, like, we don't have a lot of room. But even Beckham got 15 guaranteed and 18 potential off a year where he didn't play. Hopkins played last year most of the season and did produce, so... You know, if you were being the most optimistic that he would take the least he could possibly take and still, like, look himself in the mirror, like, who's the last guy to do anything like that?
Yeah, the Beckham deal certainly did not help. I think it's one of the, you know, if you fold it into the Lamar Jackson extension, it helps, but I think it's one of the craziest contracts I've ever seen. Look, I'm sure he wouldn't take anything below $10 million, and then with a bunch of incentives that probably could get him all the way back to his $19.5 million that he's currently owed. You don't really see it. I guess one example, you know, recently would be Juju Smith-Schuster, and I think we'd agree he's not quite in that caliber of player, but nevertheless, You know, taking his base value last year was about $3.7 million. He then earned about 10.5 in incentives or total because of, you know, how well the Chiefs did. But that's probably the best example you have in recent years. And he's not DeAndre Hopkins.
Brad Spielberger, Western Hotline. I know you're a big NBA guy. Are you buying LeBron retirement talk?
No, that's hey, GM, I want some better teammates around me, and if you don't do it, I'm going to be frustrated. And you know, that's how I read that one.
I was a little curious. I did not think of him wanting to play his son from his son's perspective. He talked about that, I think, yesterday, that, hey, I want to play with Bronny, but I don't know that that's what he wants. And, like, I don't know, like, would you want to play with your dad coming into the league? Like, my dad's here. Like, hanging out with the guys is different now, and just, I don't know. Maybe he's giving up on that dream.
That is a very fair point, and it would be nice of him to kind of take that into consideration. I don't know. I always think back to, like, when Griffey was playing with his dad for a little bit in the major leagues. They had back-to-back home runs at one point. I think it's, like, one of the coolest highlights in sports history. But it is a fair point. Bronny, like you said, might want to just be able to kind of let loose and relax with a bunch of other 25-year-olds. And not have to worry about his, you know, 40-year-old dad at that point keeping tabs on everything he's doing.
Random question for both of you. I was thinking about this. If LeBron does retire, who's – you know what, the spirit I mean this. Whose league is it? Is it Jokic's league? Is he like who is
– I'm going to want to answer him. He's just not charismatic and
who,
I don't know.
Who becomes the league's North Star as a player?
Yeah, it's a good question. I probably would just say Kevin Durant, even though obviously the injuries and it wasn't great this year in the playoffs at all. But if he can kind of get back to form, he is that like the guy with that status. It's a great question though, because like it should be Jokic, but it's not.
It probably can't be Wembanyama yet, but it could be soon if he like. I mean, he's supposed to be the next, you know, incredible all timer. So you kind of have a league without a North Star for a little while once LeBron retires, if nobody else is ready to step right in. Brad, thanks very much. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. They have a new season simulator.
Yes, which I've been playing around with.
We should do one of these tomorrow.
We should. The one I just did. This place, you would, looking from your house, looking out at Orchard Park, you would see this orange glow in the distance that would be radiating from Orchard Park if they did what this simulator had them doing, which would be losing to the Jets, losing to the Raiders, losing to the Dolphins, losing to the Giants, and starting the season 2-4.
Wow.
But to then, this is why this would be a wild ride, start 2-4 and then rattle off 10 of 11.
Oh, got to peak at the right time.
To finish the season, including wins over Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and Kansas City.
It's funny, when you lay it out like that, would you take that season?
Could you mentally get through the first month?
Here's the fun part. You have seen the future. You know that season plays out, and you're the guy when they're 2-4 saying, everything's fine. They're going to be fine. Meanwhile, they're 2-4.
They're 2-4 off a loss to Dable on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And are you winning the division? That's the one thing I want to know. Is like,
what's the record?
12-5.
It's going to be close. What's the record in the division in that rundown? If they're 5-1.
They don't have yet a feature where you see the other teams. It is the beta version.
That's fine. But what is their division record in that rundown?
Right. They've one loss to the Jets, one loss to the Dolphins early on.
4-2.
And then they win the rest.
Okay. Maybe. The other question I have about that season. So they lost to the Raiders?
They lost to the Raiders 22-15.
If they lose 22-15 to the Raiders.
What is that, 5 field goals?
It's going to be a really tough time coming the next day and being like, listen, Dorsey's fine.
Oh, yeah, man. No, we'll be
15?
Won't we be talking? Is it too late for this question? It's 9:28. If they lose those two games in the beginning of the season, they lose 34-16 to the Jets. They only score 16 against the Jets.
And then 15 against the Raiders.
Aren't we coming in the next day wondering if he's going to be fired?
Or if Josh is broken or something?
They fired Greg Roman after
two games
and a second game in which they scored like 34 points.
Yeah. Well, that was...
It's a different regime and a different coach.
Very different.
But aren't we wondering if Dorsey... Like, what would have to happen for him to be fired in season? Is that all it would take? Two really bad games at the beginning of the year? I can't imagine it would be that quick. Yeah. But I don't want to definitively say that.
803-0550. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, Extra Point Show coming up 10 o'clock. We don't have the wedding idea of the day yet. We should
wedding
do that.
Idea of the day.
We should do that. And what else do I have here? I have something else. The LeBron-Jokic conversation, like that might be a little, something to flesh out a little bit more if LeBron indeed does retire. I saw you tweeted yesterday a Photoshop of him in a Warriors jersey. I am hoping that happens.
I've got some LeBron odds for you.
I want everything about him on the Warriors. Everything to do with it. Yes, let's go.
I would love to see him play with Steph before it's all over.
Yes.
I think I'm in on that too. Hey, be caller 5 right now at 716-221-4947. That's 221-4WGR. And you can win a pair of tickets to see Post Malone. This is June 17th, Darien Lake Amphitheater, courtesy of Live Nation. And tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. Good luck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Had a pin again off, now it's stolen away by Commodore. He got leveled by Lutman. And here's a penalty coming up to Commodore. Another shot, they score!
You know,
whoo, that is 17 years ago today. Game 3, so, Sabres over the Hurricanes.
Okay. 17 years ago today, Henrik Tillander got hurt, and that's why the Sabres did not win the Stanley Cup. That's it. Tillander doesn't get hurt. They win it.
You blew my mind with something with him like a couple months ago, that he was like one of the best defensemen in hockey that year.
Yes.
Because I'm 11. My memory is... their best two defensemen were Campbell and McKee.
Tillander.
And that Ludman and Tillander were just like a dream second pair.
No, Tillander and Ludman were their first pair.
Yeah.
Tillander. You know that
meme? That's the night he got
that,
hurt.
That meme that says, prove me wrong? Like somebody else that remembers that time. Tillander was it. He was their most important defenseman. I mean, Ludman didn't get hurt. If Ludman got hurt, maybe we say that about him.
Yeah,
because every game in that series that they won, they lost a defenseman.
Yeah.
They won 3 games. They lost 3 defensemen in that series.
Yeah, what, they lost Newman in game one? Or was he already gone?
Or it was Kalinin, one of the two.
No, maybe it was both.
Well, Kalinin was skating with like 2 torn groins.
Yeah.
And he was out. They lose Tillander when they win game 3.
Yeah.
And they lose McKee after game 6. Every game you win... it has been pointed out since that happened 17 years ago today. Do you know how many conference finals games the Carolina Hurricanes have won? Zero.
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 That's less than the Sabres.
That's right.
Sabres won one.
Since 2006, yeah. The Carolina Hurricanes have been to the conference finals. They have won 0 conference final games.
Love that.
17, Tillander. Joe.
Tillander.
That's how long I've been on the air here. Now you're driving this home. Came in the next day, finding out Tillander left with his arm in a sling, right? Didn't he hurt his shoulder? He broke his arm? And I said, I rather would have lost the game and kept Tillander than won that game and lose Tillander.
Wow.
Would rather be down 2-1 with Tillander healthy.
I mean, they already had Jeff Gilson in the lineup playing 9 minutes. And then Tillander got hurt after that.
Yep. And then they got shut out at home in game 4 by Martin Gerber.
Oh.
You know what? Last night,
yikes!
You want to time travel? Here's your time travel. Watch highlights of Vegas and Dallas from last night.
Yeah,
And when they panned to the fans in the stands, those people might as well have played the role of fans in the stands of Game 4 when Martin Gerber shut out the Sabres, I believe 4-0, in their own building to go 2-2 to go back to Carolina. Then I went to Game 5, a game they had a 3-1 lead in and lost in overtime. Painful. Then Game 6, a very forgotten game winner. Briere,
yeah. It, like, jumps up over Ward and falls in.
Yep. Totally forgotten game winner. Like, it's... Yep. That highlight's not iconic. It feels like it should be. And then Game 7.
I mean, it would have been had they closed it out.
Sure. And then Game 7. Game 7, Briere and Drury combined for 0 shots on goal.
Wow, they choked. This whole time, they were not getting blamed. By the way, listeners, so Kalinin got hurt in Game 5 against Ottawa. Numanen got hurt in Game 1 against Carolina, Talinder Game 3, and then McKee in Game 6. So if you go back to the Ottawa series...
So 4 straight wins, they exchanged a defenseman for a win.
Yeah.
You're not going to go very far doing that.
You're not going to last.
Yeah. 803-0550.
The win before that, you gave up Connolly.
Right, yeah. The wedding idea of the day coming up. I have an animal question. Can I ask you an animal question?
You go animal question. I've got a hockey question too, but we can save that for Extendo. So what do you got?
So we are frequenters of the zoo. Young kids, you know, summer zoo. I just saw
you have the season pass?
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Season ticket holders to the zoo. So I just saw that they have added an ocelot. Do you have any idea what an ocelot is?
I think maybe not, that would make sense. I'm thinking ocelot. This is some sort of giant bird, but I'm just thinking ostrich. That's it. I'm just starting the first two letters is all I'm doing there. An ocelot, it's a giant, like, type of otter would be my guess.
A giant otter.
First thing that popped into my head was like kind of anteater, like
anteater.
That's kind of like a giant otter, isn't it? No, that's not even
now
close.
Anteaters are like otters.
No, I don't know. They're giant otters that eat ants.
Ocelots. What is an ocelot? An ocelot kind of it's a cat. It's a smaller cat, not smaller than a house cat.
Like a small big cat.
A small big cat. An ocelot. Yeah, they kind of have like the spotting that.
Okay,
like
I'm looking.
Jaguars.
I'm
have.
Looking now. This looks like like a mini jaguar.
Yep. Like a lynx.
Sure. If you showed me a picture of this, I would have probably guessed this is what a lynx looks like.
Looks more like a bobcat.
Yeah,
or a bobcat.
It looks like a house cat on steroids, on HGH or whatever.
Yeah.
Or CGH, cat growth hormone or something.
Yeah. An ocelot.
Yep, they got an ocelot now. So there you go. There's my animal question. You can hit me with your NHL question if you want.
The Champions Hockey League. Are you familiar with the Champions Hockey League? This is like the European, it's basically the European Champions League. Like teams from Sweden, Finland, Czech Republic, whatever, they come together to play each other. They are, in their tournament this year, they are testing a new rule.
I'm going to like it. I can tell.
Or a series of new rules that all have a similar theme. A goal does not end a minor penalty.
Love it. Should happen.
Penalty assessed even when goal scored during delayed penalty.
Should happen. Agree.
And a shorthanded goal takes the minor penalty off the board.
Hmm.
I like that. You score shorthanded, you're no longer killing the penalty.
I like
it's
that.
Over.
I like that too.
I mean, all of this drives offense, doesn't it?
Yep.
Because now you'll go for the shorthanded goal.
You might be a little more
maybe,
likely.
Maybe a little more.
But I like it.
And goals don't end penalties.
Yep. Sign me up for all of it. That was easy.
Will the NHL ever do it though?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Ever do it?
Probably not. I mean, the number one rule I'd like to see with penalties is that if you commit a penalty in the final 2 minutes, the game ends when the penalty ends. You can't cross-check a guy with 5 seconds left and go sit in the box for 5 seconds. I know that gets to some...
Wow, that would be, man.
It gets to murky territory.
You think they swallow their whistles now, though. They will never call penalties again in the final 2 minutes.
But they don't, as it is. But if there's a penalty in the final 2 minutes, a clear trip, we're going to play... Until that 2 minutes is up. That should happen.
Imagine if Jamie Benn did what he did, like with a minute left, and now you got to kill a 5 minute penalty.
Love it. Because right now he can do it with impunity. He knows what's going to happen.
All right.
Game
right,
four.
Right. End of games. This is. Someone wrote an article. Was it? Who was it? Someone at Defector recently wrote about this that players just go ham at the end of games,
whatever,
trying
they want
to kill each other because they know there's no punishment.
There's no consequences.
Right.
I'm just, the Jamie Benn hit yesterday on Mark Stone, the cross check to the face of a downed player. Make the comparison in every other sport, right?
It's Myles Garrett on Mason Rudolph.
It's if Rudolph is on the ground.
Right. He's not even standing.
I mean, people wanted to, I said it was pretty bad, and somebody pointed out, like, Gronk against Trey White. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's pretty bad. This is worse.
It is.
It's maybe not.
He's using a weapon.
And Gronk is using his helmet as a weapon.
Using his elbow brace when he hit Trey.
I thought he hit him with his helmet.
No, he hit him with his elbow.
Elbow
brace
to the back of the head? Dangerous. Dangerous. Dirty. And they buried the hatchet on that. Baseball. You charge the mound and hit the guy with a bat
while he's down.
Imagine. And somehow in the NHL, we got the rules official on the broadcast being like, yeah, I'm glad they're looking at this to see if it's a 5 and not a 2.
Yeah.
I think they already said it was a 5. They were just checking to see if it could be a 2.
Oh, that's equally dumb.
Yeah.
Noise, I got Dave Jackson.
Dave Jackson.
The sport should be jarred into a scared straight program. Like, I can't believe this happens in our professional sport.
Yeah.
The Jamie Benn feels like he can do that and just come back.
NBA be like a guy on the ground and you just suddenly
stomp
face
on his head.
Yeah.
Face, jaw.
And here, again, I think he might get one game.
A game. He'll get a game.
And that's it. It's what an idiot too. Like, what was the score? Was it 2-0?
It was 0-0.
It was 0-0?
Wasn't it 0-0s? It might have been 1-0 Vegas.
Captain of the team, top line guy, you're down 2-0 in the series. What was even the point? Like, it was not within the game, right? Like, there are idiotic plays where it's kind of within the game, right? You're going too aggressive, you're checking from behind, yeah, like, that's a bad hit. Jacob Trouba has a bunch of these. Guy has the puck and he just blasts him. This is just nonsense, away from the play, no logical reason whatsoever.
Mark Gessault scored 111 in.
111
Eichel and Barbashev assists. That's Vegas's line, by the way.
If
they win the cup, it's that line that wins the cup. So that happened at 111. Ben, 42 seconds later, cross-checked Mark Stone in the face. So 1:53 into the game. You're gone. Good work. And they go to the power play, Vegas does. They did not have a great power play, but they scored on the power play. 4 minutes in to the power play. So 2-0. Great work.
That's the captain, by the way.
That's the captain.
Should be stripped of the C.
And as Paul pointed out, he then ducked questions afterwards. I think there's, you know, I'll actually sometimes defend players that don't want to talk in the media because they don't want to say anything that maybe gets them in trouble.
Do we think he was still there?
That's a good question.
Or is that even worse look?
This is a
Your
spot.
Your captain's left the building before the game's over.
This is one of those spots where I will say, like, yeah, not answering for that is pretty cowardly. I also, you know, that's the word I end up thinking of a lot. Like, listen, I'm not a tough guy in the NHL that will fight people and just randomly throwing out the word coward. But what Jamie Benn did there is cowardly. The NHL, it's routine to hit guys in the back like you're tough.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Or in this case, while a guy is down on the ice.
Or step on somebody's leg. Or like the cheap shots. Every cheap shot is so cowardly. And it's just, you know, go ahead and try and fight Mark Stone if you want to. He's on the ice and you're going to smash his head and face into the ice? Like, it's wild to me sometimes that the sport has this culture of being so tough, which it is. And then that's viewed as tough.
And if it didn't have that, like, again, for the comparisons for other sports, what would the takeaway be if this happened in another sport? It would be, oh, he was trying to take him out of the series.
Yes.
Hockey, you don't get that. Hockey's just, oh, it's the nature of the sport, right? When in reality,
it's not the nature of the sport, it's the nature of the league.
Nature of the league,
because
right,
it does not happen in other leagues.
That's right. Or in college, or, like, it doesn't happen.
And if it happened, if you did that as a college player, what would happen?
Oh, you'd get, would your season be over?
Might be.
And in this case, he doesn't get, that doesn't stick to him, but what the reaction today should be, Jamie Benn tried to take out Vegas' best player. He tried to take him out of the series. What should that punishment be? You're out for the series. At least you tried to take him out of the series, you get the series.
803-0550. Mike in a car before Extendo Sports and then the Extra Point Show. What's up, Mike?
Jeremy, how are you? 1992, I was an old friend of Seymour Knox III, and I was sitting with him at a dinner, and I told him about this rule proposal. At the end of a game, in a one goal, in a game that can be decided with enough goals on the power play. So in a 2-0 game, a 2-minute minor, the game wouldn't go on because you can't score enough goals on a 2-minute minor to affect the outcome of a game.
Oh, we lost you. Go ahead.
I wrote up the actual rule proposal. He put it to the Board of Governors in 1992, and they voted down your idea. I think it's the dumbest rule. You should extend the game if you can score enough goals on the power play to affect the outcome of the game, plain and simple.
Yep. And thanks, Mike. And Joe's point's right. They'd swallow the whistle. Okay, but at least the rule's there. If something is so bad, I mean, puck over the glass, 2 more minutes on the clock.
Yep.
Extend the game.
That one you can't swallow your whistle on. That one's easy.
How different is it that in the NFL, a game cannot end on a defensive penalty? They don't just end the game.
Right.
You get more plays. Yeah. Like, sorry. You cheated. You have to play fair.
Yeah. Soccer. If you get a foul, if there's 6 minutes of stoppage time and you foul a guy at the 95th
they
minute.
Add time.
The free kick will be taken in like the 98th minute.
Yep. You're not going to just end this game by cheating in the final minute. Like, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Scott in Rochester. Hey, Scott.
Morning, guys. So how are we supposed to feel as Sabres fans if Eichel wins the Conn Smythe this year? That would be 2 Conn Smythe winners that this team has traded, and the next year they win the Conn Smythe. I'm not saying he's going to do it. Florida's looking pretty good. Bobrovsky looks like he's on a heater, but if he wins the Conn Smythe, what's the conversation going to be here?
Is it different if he wins the Conn Smythe for you? The point you made yesterday was, I feel better about the Sabres, right? Like, they're the spot that they're in and what it says about the previous regimes. If he's holding up that trophy, though, is it any different?
Well, I'm going to ask you this. Does it make much of a difference if it's the Cup or the Conn Smythe? If he wins the Cup and he gets to raise that, or if he gets the Cup and the Conn Smythe?
Like, Florida winning it, like, Reinhart would win, but
he's probably not going to win Conn Smythe.
He's not going to win Conn Smythe because Bobrovsky and then even Tkachuk. Like, he's a little further down the list.
And if it's
Eichel
Vegas,
would be, like, crowned, you're the best player. Like, you're the missing piece. We won the Cup because we added you.
You know, each person has their own answer to this. What do you want me to say?
And for me, it would not be...
I won't be fazed.
Like, how would it feel? I don't know, sitting here today. I feel like there's a good chance that it'll sting in the moment, but not because of the reasons you might be thinking, like any hate towards Eichel. It would sting in the moment because it would be me thinking back to 7 years ago, 8 years ago, years ago, and thinking, this was the whole point. The whole point was he was good enough to do that.
Well...
And even though the Sabres are in a good spot, I don't have proof yet that they have a guy that can do that, and here's proof that that guy was good enough to do that.
Well, at the risk of making people mad on a Wednesday at 9:51, this is why we say things like, the tank worked. It did. The rest of it didn't. But anyway, we don't say that stuff anymore. We don't talk about that anymore, Joe. No, it's okay. It's fine. How are you supposed to feel? You know who our little exercise before of, like, things that are 20-1, Brooks Koepka to win the PGA was 20-1.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through a bunch of things that are 20-1. Do they all feel like they're the same likelihood? Miami to win the Super Bowl is 20-1. Pittsburgh to win the AFC is 20-1. You know who's 20-1 to win the Conn Smythe? Aiden Hill.
Aiden Hill.
He is not going to win the Conn Smythe.
No, I mean, if he had a shutout in 4 consecutive games.
In the finals.
Would he win the Conn Smythe?
He might.
That's what you need.
Bobrovsky is 2-1 right now to win the Conn Smythe.
And Tkachuk right after that?
Listen, Bobrovsky has a look at, if they were to lose a series to Vegas and he were to play well, he has a look at the Jaguar Conn Smythe. J.S. Jaguar won it and lost for Anaheim.
Yeah.
And Bobrovsky would have a strong case if they were to lose in a lengthy series where he plays well. If they were to lose, he might have a really good look at the Conn Smythe on a losing team. We'll see if they get there. Florida, Carolina, tonight, game 4. He has stolen a series against the Leafs. Bobrovsky did, and now he's in the process of stealing one against Carolina as well. Expected goals, it's been Carolina's edge. Just hasn't mattered. Extendo Sports, and then the Extra Point Show coming up on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Odds on LeBron James' next team, if not the Lakers. Who's the favorite?
Warriors.
Nope.
Knicks.
Knicks.
Ooh.
Knicks are actually, Knicks are tied.
Don't do it.
As the co-favorite with the 76ers at plus 300. Then you have the Clippers. Then the Cavaliers, of course.
Come back east. That's what I would say.
Then Phoenix and then Golden State.
Phoenix.
You got Miami on here. You got Sacramento on here. Sacramento. Could you imagine him on the Kings? Celtics. The Bulls. The Bucks, the Mavericks.
Do you think there's any chance he hasn't worn the same number his entire career, so it's a little different?
He goes back and forth, 23-6.
I was going to say, like, they retired Jordan's number, but not league-wide. Did they do it league-wide or only the Miami Heat did it?
Okay. The Bulls and the Miami Heat and probably the Wizards. And
LeBron's going to get his number retired in Cleveland, in L.A., in Miami. He could get a fourth still.
He's going to get two jerseys retired in L.A., I think.
Right. Maybe.
He is under contract next year. But I think he has an option to.
No, he is right. He has an option the year after. So he has one more year with the Lakers.
Yeah, he is under contract.
So he'd have to be traded.
I think right.
Which I don't know. If he goes to you and you're the Lakers and say, "Hey, I want to be here."
You make it happen.
Yeah, you trade him. That's it. You bend at the will of LeBron. You could probably get a ton for him anyway.
All right, what's coming up on Extendo Sports?
You mean Extra Point Show?
Sorry, Extra Point
That's
Show.
All right.
Yeah,
this
whatever.
Is Extendo, right? It's all good. Tim Benz, our buddy in Pittsburgh, is going to join us at 10:30. A lot going on in Pittsburgh. We want to talk about...
Yep.
I'm high on the Steelers this year, guys. I think the Steelers are going to be a pretty good team. I like what I saw at the end of the year last year. I think they had a really good offseason. So I think I'm higher than you are on them, but I want to see...
You're definitely higher than I am on it. I'm not in on Pickett yet.
Okay, all right. And by the way, the other reason, the GM stuff going on in Pittsburgh. Like, what's this look like? Kyle Dubas, Jason Botterill... who else did he...
Jason Karmanos.
Well, let me
tell you,
the scale of how I would feel about Pittsburgh signing Jason Botterill to be their GM versus Jason Karmanos is two ends of the spectrum.
He also texted me.
I do not want them to steal the Sabres guy. I would love them to hire Jason Botterill. I read an article about all the things he did. I'm like, man, take that guy. He was bad at everything here. Maybe it was, you know, something about... I don't know if he was told what to do. He was terrible here. Almost everything he did was bad.
But hey, he found Connor Sherry.
He traded for Tage Thompson. You know, almost, I mean, Botterill to Pittsburgh, I would love it.
Steve Greeley also, I believe, in the mix. That's what Tim texted me. So, you know, we could talk about all of that for sure.
Okay.
And, you know, what would that look like? Is Kyle Dubas, you know, a serious consideration?
Do you know what NHL offseason basically is? It's like breaking. A person you have... have heard of before that had another job might get the same job with another team.
It's just a roulette wheel.
It's just
everybody
worked in the league
before.
Yeah,
spin the roulette wheel. We're gonna find out where you're about to go.
All these GMs are hanging out in the same, you know, the same pavilion. Go in there, pick one out of there. Who do you got? Brian Burke. Okay, cool. Yeah, you got a job.
Peter Chiarelli is getting interviews again.
Yeah.
I forgot where. He's getting GM interviews.
Wait,
this
what?
Is probably the worst general manager in NHL history.
This is like roundtable for the Extra Point Show, which is totally cool. I know you probably want
to
get out of here.
I don't know where to go.
Mike Babcock, what's the deal with him? He's back, right?
Columbus? Up Mike in Babcock? Columbus.
And if it's not Babcock, did you see the other name they mentioned?
No.
Oh, Quenneville, right?
No.
Well, Quenneville got mentioned somewhere else.
There is a rumor that... All right, we'll play a little 20, whatever.
Real quick, yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Former player.
Brett Hall.
No. Played for the Blue Jackets and you forgot about it.
Hall of Famer.
I mean, all-time great player.
I mean, it's not Rick Nash then, because I wouldn't have forgot about that.
All-time great who played most of his career, I'm pretty sure.
I think I know.
Not Lindros.
Is it Fedorov?
It's Fedorov.
Yeah, Sergei Fedorov. I did see that.
Wow.
Now I'm looking this up, and Sergei Fedorov played for four teams.
Into that.
Do you know that?
I remember his last year. I remember him as an older player, so I'm going to remember those better than Detroit. Like, he was on Washington, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
With Ovechkin?
He played for Detroit, Columbus, and Washington, but there were 2 years in there as well in Anaheim.
No.
Come on.
Wait, with which? The Mighty Ducks?
The Anaheim Ducks of
If you're telling me there is a Mighty Ducks Fedorov jersey out there that can be had on eBay or something.
It was the
I'm
year
finding it.
Before and the year after the lockout, he was with Anaheim. He played a total of 85 games.
So there are Mighty Ducks
and
he
must have been traded to Columbus in that season 05-06.
You don't often see Europe. Haven't we talked about this? When's the last European head coach in the NHL? We did this with, who's the Swedish guy? Rickard Granberg?
Yeah.
A couple years ago for the Sabres. I remember talking about this with him. Like, there hasn't been a European coach in the NHL, I feel like, in decades.
I didn't know this. Speaking of jerseys and guys that did, there was one I saw tweeted out the other day. A Max Afinogenov jersey.
Oh, I saw
it. Atlanta Thrashers.
Saw it.
Ooh.
Someone had it. Tweeted it out.
Would love to find it.
I forgot that existed too.
I'm an Afinogenov stan. I think he's like top 10 all time for most points in his final NHL season. He had like 65 points
61.
In his last NHL
I'm looking
season.
Looking at it right now.
Yeah.
24 goals, 37 assists.
Yeah.
Okay.
At what age?
He was only
like 30. Right? He wasn't
30, yeah. He wasn't that old. Yeah. He was still age.
He took the Thrashers with him.
Did you tuck the jersey like he did when you played, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Still do.
Yeah.
Left tuck.
Left.
Back left. Back only left the left tuck. Half. Yep.
It's funny because Max plays floor hockey, my son. He does it because of Gretzky.
Mm.
He tucked it like Gretzky because I showed him videos of Gretzky, so he tucked it.
That's funny because Gretzky actually did it because of a Finnegan.
I love it.
All right. These guys are coming up. Extra Point Show. We're back tomorrow morning on WTR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.